We're holding on K-Tess Amadei's nine lines from the bottom, the five lines from the bottom of the middle size lines. We've been learning about the Mishnah had told us about the first Mishnah of our Perek had talked about the concept of Tadir Shaina Tadir, when you have one carbon is more common than the other, such as the Tumid relative to the Musafim, or within the Musafim themselves, Shabbos versus Rosh Chodesh, or Rosh Chodesh versus Rosh Hashanah. The next Mishnah, which is the next Mishnah, our Mishnah, had talked about the concept of Mekudosh, where you have one thing has greater Kedusha than the other, and then it comes first. The next Mishnah is going to talk about what if you have Tadir versus Mekudosh, but first, within Mekudosh itself, we have to deal with what is considered within things that are the same frequency. We do things that have greater kedusha first. So we said, for example, the blood of a chatas is considered to have greater kedusha than the blood of an oila because a chatas is mechaper. On the other hand, the limbs of an oila come before the limbs of a chatas because an oila is completely burnt on the mizbeach. And we went through a bunch of various cases about which one takes precedence over the other. So now the Gemara is going to discuss a side which is going to discuss a different din. Use our Mishnah as a proof for the deen. So the Gemara says, "Omer Ravina Bar Shilo, a murim kodshim kalim, the fats and then the internal organs that have to be offered on the mizbeach of kodshim kalim, sheyotzu lifnei zrikas damim, which were taken out of the azara before the blood was sprinkled, psulim, then those emurim become posel." Now. The chiddush of it is as follows. The emunim themselves, of course, have to be offered on the mizbeach. So you would think it should be fairly obvious they need to stay in the azara. The point is, though, when it comes to kodshim kalim, the emunim are not yet considered to be kodesh until the blood is sprinkled. For example, as far as Me'ila, we say if a person were to use those emunim before the blood was sprinkled, nothing happens. He's not over on Me'ila. But here, even though as far as Me'ila, they're not yet considered kodesh until the blood is sprinkled, as far as being taken out, they will become posel if they're taken out. To that extent, we already consider them kodesh kodeshim. And continues Ravina Bar Shila, the Tana Tuna and our Tana teaches something from which we can derive the same things. Tuna means our Tana. So the Tana Tuna and our Tana has taught. In our Mishnah, we said that Meiser Behema comes ahead of Bird Korbanos, but Nesha who's Zevach, because we said even though Bird Korbanos, we said are always Kodshe Kodshim, because they're either a Chatas or an Ola, with both of which are Kodshe Kodshim, and on the other hand, Meiser Behema is Kodshim Kalim. Nevertheless, the Mishnah had said Meiser comes first, but Nesha who's Zevach, because it's a Korban, it's a Shechted Korban, and we said Shechting is considered to be more Kodish because it takes place by more Korbanos. The Yeshne Kodshe Kodshim, Dome the Emura, and there is a Kodshe Kodshim aspect of it, namely the Bzwar and the Emurin. Now, we have to ask, Yishleima Emurin, less Nehuba Oifis. We have to ask, why is the Mishnah pointing out that contrast between Meiser and birds? Shleima Emurin, fine, there's no Emurin by birds because you don't have. By an Ola, the whole thing is burnt on a Mizeach. You don't separate out the Emurin, but fine, that's the same as an Ola of an animal. A chatas of a bird, though, there's no internal organs that are offered on the Zeach at all, as we learned back in the Samachay when we talk about bird carbonus, then other than the blood, nothing of it goes on the Zeach, the rest of it is all eaten by the Kohen. So we have to ask. So we understand as far as a murim, there's reason to highlight the fact that a murim exists by animal carbonus, such as Maisa Behema, but not by birds. Ella, but we have to ask blood either way, whether it's a bird carbon, whether it's an animal carbon, either way, blood is applied to the mizbeach. El alav kamash malon, so it must be then that the Mishnah must be coming to tell us that the word gomer, emurim, chi gomer, that we should learn that the emurim are considered like the blood. Ma domer lifnei zrika, just like the blood we're talking about necessarily before zrika, because after zrika, there's nothing to talk about, it doesn't exist anymore, it's been sprinkled on the mizbeach. After emurim kodim zrika. Therefore, the emurim that the Mishnah is referring to must also be before the blood has been sprinkled. Vika kori lahu kodshe kodshim. And the Mishnah is calling those emurim kodshe kodshim, implying that they have the status of kodshe kodshim. Now, not as far as Me'ilah, because it is an established point in all over Shas that Me'ilah does not apply to the emurim of kodshim kalim before the blood is sprinkled. That's a known fact, which the Gemara mentioned in various places. We'll learn about it as the Shishem and the Sechtim Ila next year. But we can learn so we can at least learn, just like the blood becomes possible if it's taken out of the Azara before it's sprinkled, the same way that Emurim will become possible if they're taken out. So Ravina Bar Shila says, but our Mishnah is a proof for the din that I'm saying. Okay, the Gemara says, well, that's a good proof from our Mishnah. Can we say that in addition, we can also bring the following proof for what he's saying? And the point of it would be, even if we can find some reason to slug up the proof from our Mishnah, then we would still have another, in this case, a machlokes amoraim from which we can also derive Ravina Bar Shila's din. Because we're going to see that even though there's a machloikas, a particular detail, they both agree to an underlying point which supports what Ravina Bar Shila is saying. Namely, there's a machloikas as follows. Suppose the meat of the Kodshim Kalin was taken out before Zrikas Dama. Now, the meat itself, once the blood has been sprinkled, that meat can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim, so there's certainly no problem taking it out of the Azara. But here we're talking about before the blood was sprinkled, so if it's taken out, what happens? Rabbi Yochanan says that meat will be kosher, Rish Lakish on the apostle, and Rish Lakish says that it's possible. Rabbi Yochanan on the kosher, Hoyle Vasoid Zalotis, because in the end, it's going to be taken out eventually, so therefore we don't care that now it was taken out a little prematurely. Rish Lakish, I'm an apostle. Adayin, the Yizman Elotzis. Rish Lakish says it's apostle, and after all, it's not time for it yet to be taken out. Sure, eventually it'll be time, but that time hasn't come yet because the blood hasn't been sprinkled. But Ad Kanle Pligi Elabos. So we see they're only arguing as far as the meat, implying Abba Be Emurin Loy. They're not arguing as far as the Emurin. Why not? Apparently, they both agree that the Emurin will be possible if they're taken out, even before the Zrikas are down, which would again be a proof to what Ravina Bar Shila says. So do we have another proof as well? However, the Gemara says that from there is not necessarily a proof. It may well be that they're arguing also as far as the Emurim, and Rabbi Yochanan would say that they're kosher, not like Ravina Bar Shila. But the only reason they'd be arguing specifically about the meat, not the Emurim, might be a chokhecha to Rish Lakish to tell you how far Rish Lakish goes in the chiddush of what he's saying, that filu bosser, the sofa losses, even the meat, which is, after all, eventually going to be taken out, Omar, yet Rish Lakish says, Adayin Legiyas Mani Lotzis, that it has not yet time for it to come out, and therefore, if it goes out now, then it's possible. It could be that the Machlokas was mentioned as far as the Basar to highlight how far Rish Lakish goes in passeling it. But so not necessarily, though, would it be that, in fact, they both agree that the Emurim are apostle. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan would also say that Emurim are kosher, and that would not be like Ravina Bar Shila. So fine, the proof from our Mishnah is a proof, but the proof from Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan, and Rish Lakish is not necessary. Tosfos points out, the Gemara sometimes says, Koyacha de Tera Odif. It's more, we would rather highlight the Koyach, how far the one who's Matir, how far he's going to be Matir. So maybe it should have mentioned in that case Emurim and tell you, by that logic, maybe it should have mentioned the Machlokas by Emurim to tell us how far Rabbi Yochanan goes in saying that it's Mutter. Rashi and Beitza mentions a point about, because when a person is Machmir, when we find a Tana or an Amoda who's Machmir, not necessarily is he Machmir because that's actually the din. It might be he's Machmir because it's a Sofet, because Sofet Darais or the Omer or something like that. Whereas if he's Matir, we can definitely be sure that he's certain of what he says. Nevertheless, one of the Mephoshim, Olas Shlomo, points out, given that here, this is not a halacha that's practical nowadays, and the Gemara is not so bothered by that, and the fact that Koyach de Atero. Another one of the Mephoshim makes a point, is that, Koyach de Atero Odish, but after all, the Apostle Kodshim also takes a Koyach. You can't just willy-nilly say that Kodshim Apostle, so you could well say, That the Machlokas was put in this way to highlight how far Rabbi Shlokas uses his Toyach to pass all Korbanos. So no proof anyway, no proof from that Machlokas what Rabbi Yochanan would hold about the Emurim, and therefore not necessarily can we say that Machlokas, that both sides of that Machlokas are a proof in what Ravina Bar Shila says. Well, the Gemara says, Leiva Katanot. Should we say that actually this question of whether the Emurim are taken out before the Zritas Damim, whether they become possible, is this maybe a Machlokas Tanoim? Namely, a Mishnah tells us in Masechta Me'ilah, where it deals with these Zinim of Me'ilah, of when, what cases does Me'ilah apply to Korbanos and whatnot. The Mishnah says there, Emurim Kodshim Kalim Shiyotzu Lifnei Zritas Damim, if the Emurim of Kodshim Kalim were taken out before the blood was sprinkled, so Rabbi Eliezer in Moylan Behen. Rabbi Eliezer says Me'ilah will not apply to that, meaning even after Zrika, because at this point Rashi explains we would understand Rabbi Eliezer to be saying once they were taken out, they're possible, and even the Zrika is not going to make them mutter. So therefore they never get established as something to which Me'ilah will apply. And continues Rabbi Eliezer. Ve'en chayovin aleihem shom pigul noisa v'tomei. A person would not be chayav for eating those emurim if they were pigul or noisa, or if they became tomei, because again we would consider that the blood has not been sprinkled properly on them. And as far as pigul, we learned earlier in the Masechta, it has to be korbu kol matirav. It has to be that the matirim, the things that make the korban mutter for the next stage, have been accomplished. And here it hasn't, because even though the blood has been sprinkled, it's not matir the emurim because they were taken outside the azot. That's as far as pigul. As far as noiser is only going to apply when the korban was able to be eaten during the proper time. Here it can't, because the emurim weren't properly offered, and a person wouldn't be chayev if he's tamei, because only when it's mutter to tahorim would a person be chayev for eating it with tamei. So now the emurim became tamei, therefore the korban's no good, and the korban maybe is kosher. You were yotze the korban because the blood was sprinkled, but the fact is the emurim did not become mutter, and therefore the korban cannot be eaten. So therefore, a person wouldn't be chayev, says Rabbi Eliezer, for pigul, nosu, and tamei in such a case. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, Rabbi Akiva says, no, moilin behen, me'ilah will apply to it, v'chayovan aleihem mishum pigul, nosu, and tamei, and a person will be chayev if he eats these emurim, if they're pigul or nosu, or tamei. Now, my lab b'dahadu aylinu plegi. Shouldn't we assume that the case is where the person brought back in the emurim and then sprinkled the blood? Overhaul plegi. And now then the machlokas would be as follows. Exactly, they would be arguing on Ravina Bar Shila's point. Demar sova mifsili biyotze. Rabbi Eliezer holds they already became possible by going out, and the fact that they're brought back into the Azara doesn't help them. Umar sova and Rabbi Akiva holds loy mifsili biyotze. They did not become possible by being taken out. Sure, they were outside, but that's fine. Now they were brought back in, and therefore everything's good, and now the blood can be sprinkled, and all the usual rules of Korbanos apply to them. So it would come out that Rabbi Eliezer agrees with Ravina Bar Shila's point, and Rabbi Akiva disagrees. But the Gemara says, no, Amar Papa, the Dehodra Ailinu Kula Amalek Tzvi, if they brought them back into the Azara, then everybody would agree that they're fine at this point, because then at least they're back inside. V'hocha ben isnu avroi pligi, the machlokas would be when they're still outside at the time of the zrika. V'hoch pligi, the machlokas would be in this. The marasava ein zrika me'elos layotze. Rabbi Eliezer will hold that zrika is not effective for when the emurim were taken out of the azara. So even if they're not possible, nevertheless, the zrika cannot be effective for them as long as they're outside the azara. Marasava zrika me'elos layotze, where Rabbi Akiva will hold that the zrika will be effective even when they're outside the azara. So we could understand that way. So we could understand that way, and then it comes out that they would actually both be disagreeing with Ravina Bar Shila. So in fact, it would come out that now we started with trying to prove Ravina Bar Shila's point from our Mishnah. Then we said the Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, and we would say that that's from there is not a proof because maybe Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with him. Now we'd be saying actually, in fact, from that Mishnah in Me'ilah, it would come out the way Rabbi Papa is explaining it, that both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva both disagree with Ravina Bar Shila and say that actually it would be possible. So, on the other hand, Tosfos earlier in the Masechta discusses all Gemara over here. Tosfos on Daf Chavav, when we dealt with a case over there where you shechted a korban, and then after you shecht an animal, sometimes it moves around convulsively and ends up someplace else than it started with. So you can have a case where it moved outside the Azara, and the question is whether it would be kosher or not. And the Gemara had talked about over there that it can mean that specifically that the emurim went out. So that would imply the apostle. On the other hand, all Gemara is taking up the possibility that maybe they're kosher. So Tosfos discusses over there and says that maybe what it means is when we say lo tigi, of course everybody agrees that you are chayev for people noser and tomei if they were brought back in, because the zrika will be effective even though they were taken out and became possible, but they were brought back into the azara. At least they become kosher enough that they're maybe not completely kosher, but they're kosher enough that now the zrika will be effective and establish them as people. But nevertheless, they would still actually be possible. So you could say they are possible, but we could say that when we say that they don't disagree when they were brought back in, means even though they're possible, they're still connected enough to the korban to become possible by people. On the other hand, the Ma'ari Kurkus, one of the early Mufoshim on the Rambam, understands our Gemara to be saying that Rav Papa is saying that they wouldn't be possible at all according to everybody. So two different ways of understanding Rav Papa's answer. Okay. On the other hand, the Gemara says, "V'hara Papa Huda Omar." Doesn't Rav Papa himself say in a different context about something similar? Now you have the Shtei Alechem. The Shtei Alechem that are brought on Shavuos, the Shtei Alechem themselves are not offered on the Mizbeach because they're Chometz, and Chometz never goes on the Mizbeach, but you have a bunch of Korbanos that are brought with them. In particular, you have Shnei Kvasim, you have two sheep that are brought as Zivche Shalwei Tzibur, and they're waved together with the Shtei Alechem and then offered, and then the Emurim are offered on the Mizbeach. Now you have a similar Machlokas. If the Shtei Alechem were taken out of the Azara after the Korbanos were shechted, but before the blood was sprinkled, and you have a similar machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, whether the bread becomes Kaddish, and Rabbi Papa Huda Omer, and Rabbi Papa says something different. But the Isnu Avroi, if they're outside the Azara, Kola Almolei Pligi, then they both don't agree, they both don't disagree, rather. The Zrika definitely is not effective for it, but B'dailinu, the Gavroi Pligi, only when he brought them back in, is there the machlokas? So there Rav Papa is explaining that the machlokas is when they brought them back in. Here he's saying that, but if they're outside, then everybody would agree that they don't become Kaddish. Here he's saying the other way around. If they're inside, then everybody agrees whatever they agree to. You have Tosfos versus Amari Kurkus as far as what exactly they agree to, whether that they're not possible at all, or whether they are possible, but nevertheless the Zrika is effective to them to a certain extent. The machlokas is when they're outside. So it seems Rav Papa is being inconsistent. There he's saying the machlokas is when they're outside. Here we're saying with Shtei Alechem, though, he's saying that if they're outside, they both agree that they don't become Kaddish. So why should there be that difference? And the answer is, Hani Mili Gabi Shtei Alechem Delav Gufi Dizivcha. Because the difference is, by the Shtei Alechem, that itself is not the korban. The actual korban is the Zivche Shamit Zibur. The Shtei Alechem are part of the they're an adjunct of the korban, but they're not the actual korban itself. They become mutter when you sprinkle the blood of the kvasim. So therefore, when they're outside, even Rav Papa is saying, even Rav Akiva is going to agree that since they themselves are not the actual kvasim, so the kvasim cannot be mutter them when they're outside. But the emurim belong to the actual korban itself. They are part of the body of the animal. Therefore, with the Isra Avroi Pligi, therefore, the Rav Papa can say that even when they're right now outside the Azara, would be the machlokas Rav Akiva could still hold, since they are part of the actual korban, then the blood of that very same korban can still be matzah then. So that's how we reconcile Rav Papa's two answers. But in any case, according to Rav Papa's answer, it comes out that not necessarily can we prove. So either again, according to the Ma'ari Kurkus's way of explaining it, it comes out Rav Papa is saying that both Rav Eliezer and Rav Akiva disagree with Ravina Bar Shila and hold that the Emurim do not become possible when they go out. Whereas according to Tosfos' explanation, they both do agree that it does become possible. The question is just whether now, when they were brought back in, is the Zrika able to be effective enough to make them pigol or noser or whatever. In the end, the Rambam, in fact, Paskins, like Ravina Bar Shila, that in fact, if they murim were taken out, then they become fossil. So brought back in, then he learns they don't become fossil. Okay. Fine. Next, going back to the Mishnah. So this was all, again, a side point. The reason the Gemara had brought this in is because you have Ravina Bar Shila had brought a proof from our Mishnah to prove when the Mishnah had mentioned Domrei ve'Emurim, and he wanted to prove from the reference to Emurim that in fact it means that if the Emurim are taken out before the Zrika, then they become fossil. And that drove this whole discussion over here of whether in fact that's so. So in the end, if the Emurim are taken out before Zrika, then even if they're outside, at the time of Zrika, the korban does not become possible, and therefore, if you bring them back in, then you could, in fact, offer on the Mizbeach, and even if he didn't, the Chayef for Pigol, Noiser, and Tomei, so in the end, he's paskening not like Ravina Bar Shila, but rather like Rav Papa's answer over here, that when they were brought back in, then for sure it's good, and even if they're outside, Rav Akiva holds they're also still. Next, going back to the Mishnah, where the Mishnah had been going through the order of precedence between the Korbanos, as far as the different degrees of Kedusha, the Mishnah had said, Ophis Kodmin Chola, Brood Korbanos come before Menachos, because we said Brood Korbanos involved blood, and blood is usually what you're Mechaper with, and therefore that outranks Menachos, which do not involve blood. So the Gemara asks, Adrabba, Menachos Kodmos, shouldn't we argue that there's a reason say that a mincha comes first, sheken yeshin b'tzibur k'b'yachid, because the tzibur sometimes brings a korban mincha. You have the mincha sa'omer and the shtei alechem are both considered types of mincha. There's never such a thing as a korban of a tzibur that is a bird. Rashi points out that when Torah tells us about bringing birds as a korban, it says v'hikriv, from which we learn, which is in the singular, from which we learn that only a yachid can bring birds, a tzibur that is a tzibur never. So maybe Menachos should come first. And the answer is, nevertheless, the fact that a bird involves blood is considered to be a higher ranking thing, and therefore it outranks Menachos. Then we said Minchas Choyte Chol. We said that the Minchas Choyte, the mincha that a person brings for certain Averis, as a korban Ola B'Yorid, if he's really, really poor, that, we said, goes ahead of a Minchas Nedava, because it comes for a Chet. So it's a similar way, as we said, that a Chatas comes before an Ola, the same way the Minchas Choyte comes before a Minchas Nedava. So the question is, Adrama Minchas Nedava Kedemes, shouldn't we say that maybe the Minchas Nedava should come first? Shekein Tona Shemin Levoina, because a Minchas Nedava requires oil and Levoina, whereas a Minchas Choyta, the Torah tells us, has neither. So maybe a Minchas Nedava, a voluntary Mincha, a Minchas Nedava, should be considered more important. And the answer is, Afila Hochi Minchas Choyta, Abachet, Adifa. Nevertheless, a Minchas Choyta, because it comes for an Aveda, is considered more important than Mechaperet, because Mechaper for an Aveda. Okay. Now, within Menachos, the Gemara asks, Boilahu, Minchas Soto, Minchas Nedava, Eze Mehen Kedemus. What about a Minchas Soto versus a Minchas Nedava? We talk about in the Mishnah, Minchas Choyte, but you have another kind of Mincha that's brought also without Shemin Levoina, namely a Soto's Mincha. So you have that versus a Minchas Nedava. Which one comes first? Minchas Nedava, Kodma Shekin Tuona Shemin Olevoina. Maybe a Minchas Nedava comes first because it requires oil and Levoina, whereas a Sotah's Mincha has neither. Or Duma, Minchas Sotah, Kadma, Shekin, Boil, Avara, Oven. Or maybe the Minchas Sotah should come first because it's coming to check out an Aveda, because the whole point of the Minchas Sotah, it's part of the procedure to see whether in fact she was Mizana or not. So maybe that should outrank a Minchas Nedava. It's not actually coming for an Aveda, but it's coming to check out whether she did an Aveda. So the answer is Toshna. We learned in the Braisa. We said Minchas Choyte Kodemus and Minchas Nedava. We said a Minchas Choyte comes before Minchas Nedava, implying Minchas Choyte Hu Dekodma. Only a Minchas Choyte comes first, the Minchas Nedava, because it comes before Minchas Nedava because of Mechaper. Ha Minchas Choyte, like implying a Minchas Choyte not. because maybe a mincha surja is not considered important enough, since it's not coming to mimachaper only to verify whether in fact she did the aveira or not. So that would show a mincha sota not. But the Gemara says why? No, mikatani min hit mepeshi mechaperas. No, because the Mishnah does not say that a mincha sota comes first because it's mechaper, and then you would deduce from that that a mincha sota not because a mincha sota is not coming for kapara. But that's not what the Mishnah says. The expression in the Mishnah is mepeshi ba al chet katani. The Mishnah says because it comes for an avera. Bahonami ba'achet. The fact is, a mincha soita comes for an aveira, not to be mechaper on the aveira, but to find out whether she did the aveira. So maybe just the opposite. Maybe the Mishnah's phrasing, if neshi ba'achet, is meant to cover a mincha soita as well. So bahonami ba'achet. So the fact is that this one is also coming for chet. So you don't have proof from the Mishnah. So the Gemara says Toshma, fine, but we can continue. The Mishnah says Zu kodemus lazu, or Braisa rather. A Braisa says Zu kodemus lazu. This one comes before that one. Shazu bar min achitin v'zu bar min asa'odin, because this one comes from wheat and that one comes from barley. Now, what two menachos is the Braisa talking about? This and that. My Rav, shouldn't we assume it means minchas nedava and minchas sota? That means that minchas nedava, which comes from wheat flour, comes ahead of a minchas sota, which comes from barley flour. So there would be your answer. Minchas nedava does come first. But the Gemara says, loy, not necessarily. Minchas sota and minchas sota. Maybe both of them are menachos. Maybe we're not talking about minchas nedava at all. Maybe the Braisa is referring to a minchas sota and a minchas sota. Neither one of them contains shemen and levoina, so that's not a factor. But the minchas sota is made from wheat, and the minchas sota comes from barley, and therefore wheat outranks barley. But not necessarily would that mean a minchas nedava. To be sure, minchas nedava is made from wheat, but maybe you have, and it also has shemen and levoina, but maybe the fact that a minchas sota comes levana or oven to find out whether she did an aveira, maybe that's considered more important. So you don't have a proof from that. But the Gemara says, why? So then in that case, why would it say that minchas sota comes first? Because it comes from wheat. Typically, we would have a better reason. The Braisa should have said, a minchas sota is actually mechaper for an aveira, and a minchas sota is not. The fact that it doesn't mention that factor seems to imply that mechaperes is not an important factor. So the Gemara says, the elamai, minchas nedava. So then what are you going to say? The Braisa is talking about minchas nedava versus a minchas sota. Well, then also typically the zutona shemen levoina, the zuena tuna shemen levoina. Then the Braisa could have also said a better reason, because the minchas nedava comes ahead because it has oil on levoina and a minchas sota does not. So no matter how you look at it, the Braisa seems to be leaving out a reason. So, the bottom line is, you can say the Braisa is only mentioning one of two possible reasons. It's true, the wheat mincha that the Braisa is referring to, whether it's referring to a mincha schoite, and in that case, there's a factor that it's made out of wheat, but there's also the factor that it comes to be mechaper for an aveira, which the schoite's mincha does not. Or whether the wheat one that it's talking about is a minchas nedava, and the two factors are A, that it's made of wheat, and B, that it has shemen levoina, it's true. Either way, the Braisa is apparently mentioning only one of the two possible reasons. So you really can't prove one way or the other, and therefore the answer would again be that you could bring them in either order you want. So that's the bottom line, this is one of those cases where the Mishnah did not specify, and in the end you can do it however you want. The Kohen can choose which one to bring first. Okay? Next, we said in the Mishnah, Chatas Sa'oif Kedemes Chola, whenever you bring a Chatas Sa'oif and an Ola Sa'oif, we said the Chatas Sa'oif always comes first. Now, as we learned yesterday, most of the precedences that we said in the Mishnah were not based on Psukim, they were based on logic, on the logic that the Chachamim evaluated, which one is considered more important and more significant than the other. And for each one of them, we said there are other factors to consider, but nevertheless, the Chachamim evaluated this way. But here, as we're going to see, that we have an actual Pasuk to say that the Chatas Sa'oif comes before the Ola Sa'oif. So the Gemara says, Menahani Mili, where do we know that from? The Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa. Now you have one of the cases where a person has to bring two birds as a korban is again the korban Ola V'Yored. You have certain Averas that a person does, where if he can afford it, you have an adjustable value korban. If he can afford it, he brings a sheep or a goat. If he can't afford that, he brings two birds, one is an Ola and one is a Chatas. And if he can't even afford that, then he brings a Mincha, which was the Mincha Soita that we just talked about. Now, when the Pasuk says and brings the two words, the expression in the Pasuk is, V'hikriv es asher l'chatas rishoyder. He should offer the one for the chatas first. Now, ma tamad loymar. Now, why does the Torah need to tell us that this word, es asher l'chatas rishoyna? She'ein tamad loymar l'lamad sh'tikra rishoyna. It can't just mean to tell us that the chatas has to come first. Harek v'anemav es asheni yas ha'ola. Because the next pasuk continues. The second one he should bring as an ola. If the second one is an ola, obviously the first one is a chatas. So there'd be no reason for the Torah to tell us specifically that the chatas is first. Now, before, earlier in the Gemara, Tosfos points out, when we had Dam Chatos and Dam Ola, there the Gemara had pointed out, we have two different psukim, one of which implies that the Chatos comes first, and the other implies the Ola comes first, and the Gemara had to work out how we reconcile it, and the answer is one's talking about the precedence of for the blood, and here as far as the Emurim. But here, Tosfos wonders, why Bechlal do we need the Pasuk? We should just say, very simple, the Chatos Oif is coming to be Miratzeh, it's coming as Kapara, whereas the Oila is not. And the answer is, Tosfos says, the fact is that the Chatos Oif, nothing of it is burnt on the Mizbeach, so maybe, unlike the Chatos Mehema, so therefore maybe that's why the Gemara needs to find a separate Pasuk for that. So again, we're saying the Torah does not need to tell us the word Rishona by the Chatos, because if the Oila is second, obviously the Chatos is first. This creates an abinyan av for every case where chatas is brought together with an oila, that the chatas always comes before the oila that goes with it. And that is why the pasuk uses the expression v'hikriv es asher l'chatas rishona to explain why is it first, because it's a chatas. So the binyan av is because Rashi says because the pasuk is clearly saying because it's called a chatas, therefore it comes first. So that's the binyan av. So always the chatas comes before the ola. Bein chatas ha'oif la ola sa'oif. Whether we're talking about a chatas ha'oif and an ola sa'oif, the chatas ha'oif will come first. Bein chatas behema la ola behema, or whether we're talking about a chatas behema and ola and ola behema. Whereas we learned in the Mishnah, the blood of the chatas will come before the blood of the ola. Va'afilu chatas ha'oif la ola behema. Not only that, even if a person is bringing a chatas ha'oif and an oila, an animal, namely, that would be the case where a yeledes, a woman gives birth, the Torah tells us, in Parashas Tazria, if she's rich and can afford it, she brings a sheep as an oila and a bird as a chatas. And if she can't afford that, then she brings two birds, one as an oila and one as a chatas. So there you have a case where a person is bringing a chatas ha'oif and an oilas behema, and nevertheless, even though you would say the bird is a much smaller thing, on the face of it, the behema should come first, nevertheless, even then, the chatas ha'oif comes first. The Chazon Ish talks about actually that it may mean it seems as machlokas Rashi and Tosfos in this. Rashi's Lashon suggests that only by a Yeledes, where the two Korbanos are part of one unit, these are the two Korbanos that she has to bring in order to be able to allow to eat Kodshim and enter the Beis Mikdash, then in that case, then she's bringing the Chatas Ha'oif. So it's implying, though, according to Rashi, if it just so happened that two people are bringing, one's bringing a Chatas Ha'oif and one's bringing a Lashon Behema, according to Rashi, maybe it wouldn't necessarily be in that order. On the other hand, he goes on to say that Tosfos later on in the sugya explained that this applies to all chatas oif and oilas behema, that always the chatas comes before the oila, even if they're from two separate people and unrelated to one another. So we learn from this binyan av that when it comes to the chatas and the oila, the chatas comes first, even the chatas oif comes before the oilas behema. Again, according to the Chazon Ish's understanding of it, according to Rashi, that would be only by a yeledes, or rather a similar case, where a person is bringing the two of them as war for one purpose, and according to Tosfos, it would be across the board. So, the Gemara says, Hilkach, so the Braisa finishes off. Well, the Gemara actually explains on the Braisa, Hilkach, this is why we have several drushes. Chatas ha'oif la'ola sa'oif mi ve'es ha'sheni. The fact that the chatas ha'oif comes before the ola sa'oif, that we learn from the fact that it says ve'es ha'sheni. That the second one is the ola, implying that the chatas is the first one. Chatas behema la'olas behema midirabi rachmana. The fact that a chatas behema goes before an ola's behema, that the blood is sprinkled first, that we learn from the ribui in the pasuk we learned yesterday about the korbanos that the Levim brought, where it says v'esa echad chatas v'echad os v'esa echad ola ufar sheni ben bakar tikach l'chatas, and we learned over there that it means that as far as the blood, the chatas comes first. And as far as chatas ha'oif la'olas v'hema, mizeh bona'av, the fact that a chatas ha'oif will come before an olas v'hema, because the other two drushas only tell us within the same species of ant, within the same general species, animal versus bird, the fact that even a bird, chatas, goes before an ola of a v'hema, for that we need the binyan av that we just said. Okay. So let's talk about the reasoning behind it. So the Gemara says toshma. So let's prove as follows. We're gonna discuss this point that we said that a chatas oif comes before an oilas behema. Is that in fact so? Let's see the following braisa. Rebbe Eliezer explains there's a few reasons why when a woman is bringing korbanos for that she gave birth, why does the oila come before the chatas? So here we're saying that usually a chatas comes before an ola, but in fact, Rabbi Yezer says that by a yeladus, the ola is going to come first. First of all, he says, kol mokem shenischal for chatas, he says as follows. First of all, in every place where a rich person is supposed to bring an animal, and instead nischal for chatas, and instead the Torah allows the chatas to be substituted with a bird instead. So one example is a yoledes. Another example of the various cases where a person needs to bring a korban or the yoredet, such as tumas mikdash for kodshim, where a person entered the bis mikdash or ate kodshim when he's tomei, as we learned about in the Masechta Shavuos. So in all those cases, says Rabbi Eliezer, chatas toydemes, then the chatas comes first because the main korban is the chatas, and the oila kind of comes along, the oila comes along just kind of for the ride. In other words, let's consider, says Rabbi Eliezer, in the case, for example, of a korban oila v'yoded. Fundamentally, a korban ola v'yoded is a chatas. So basically, he's bringing a chatas in the case where he's too poor and can't afford an animal. Then the Torah tells him, bring two birds, and one of them will be a chatas and the other one will be an ola. So therefore, the chatas is the main thing, and the ola is just kind of coming along for the ride. The can be a ledis, on the other hand, here when you're talking about a woman who gave birth, or different gears, as Shittim Kubetsa says, the kanshin is schal for ola. Here we also have a substitution like that, because the yoledes has to bring two korbanos, a chatas and an ola, and when she's poor, then the chatas is substituted with a bird. Nevertheless, ola kodemes, the ola comes first. Because what happens is, by a yoledes, what's happening is, either way she's bringing two chata, either way she's bringing two korbanos. The difference is, the chatas is going to be a bird regardless. Even if she's rich, she brings a sheep as an ola, but either way, she's bringing a bird as a chatas. So here, by Yeladis, what's being substituted specifically is the ola. So either way, she'd be bringing a bird as a chatas. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, that's one reason here for the ola to be coming first. Because what we'd say is, if she was bringing an animal, the ola of animal would come first, because an animal outranks a bird, and therefore even when she's bringing two birds, he's saying that the bird ola comes first. But now again, that the ola comes first, whereas we were saying before that a chatas always comes first, even a chatas ha'oif against an ola sa'oif, and here Rabbi Eliezer is saying the other way around. Second of all, Rabbi Eliezer points out another reason. Kol makom shabo al chet. Anytime a korban is being brought for an avera, chatas kodemus, then the chatas comes first. The can oila kodemus, as opposed to here by the yoledes, the oila comes first. Because after all, she's not really bringing it because of an avera. She didn't do an avera. Okay, the Gemara tells us in Nidah there may be a suit, there may be like a semblance of an avera in the sense that when she's giving birth in her labor pains, she's likely to swear that she's never again going to have relations with her husband, and then afterwards she goes and does that, and therefore there she does go and have relations with him again, and therefore like to a certain extent she's been over on a shavua, but it's not really so. It's not really a korban for that. Fundamentally, it's just a korban to make her able to eat kodshim again. So that's another reason, says Rabbi Eliezer, that this should be an exception to the rule, and the oila should come first. And a third point, says Rabbi Eliezer, "V'kol mokum sheshnayim boim tachas chatas chatas kedemes." In any case, where two korbanos come instead of a chatas, namely again by a korban or the yored, the person would ordinarily bring two, would ordinarily bring one animal, and instead now he's bringing two birds. So chatas kedemes, then the chatas comes first. The can, whereas opposed to by a woman who gave birth, oila kedemes, then the oila comes first, because in any case she's always bringing two korbanos. So you have three reasons, he says, why by the Yoledes, the Ola should come first. Now, meanwhile, this goes against the rule that we just said, that the Chatas always comes before the Ola. So what's going on over here? Now, of course, a simple answer, the Gemara could have answered that the previous Braisa wasn't like Rebbe Eliezer. But then the question would still be, so what would he daushin from the pasuk with binyan abba v'yikubeshashalachatas rishonim? And also another explanation is that in our Gemara quoted it as Rebbe Eliezer is saying, but where it comes from in Torah's Koyanim, it's not attributed to Rebbe Eliezer, it's a stam braisa, so then we have two stam braisas, and how do we reconcile them? So Amar Rava, Lemikra Hikdimu Hakosu. So Rava says when the pasuk puts the ola by the Yoledes first, it means only as far as the actual pasuk. It means that when you're reading the pasuk, you read the ola first, and then you read the chatos. But as far as the avoda, the chatos will in fact come first. So Rabbi Eliezer's reasons are not explaining why you actually bring the ola first, but rather he agrees that you bring the chatos first. He's just saying, why does the posit put the ola first? You have these three reasons. Again, the three reasons are because here it's the chatos that's being substituted, because here the oila rather is being substituted, not the chatos, and because it's not coming for a chet, and because it's two korbanos, and because it's not two korbanos coming instead of one, it's one instead of one, because she would have been bringing two korbanos regardless. So according to Rashi, the mikra hikdima hakasim means that the Torah is putting the oila first because Hashem chose to write the oila first, but not that it actually comes first. In fact, when it comes to the avoda of it, the chatos comes first. Tosfos wonders about that explanation. I mean, what's the chiddush? Yeah, the pasuk puts the oila first. Do we need Rabbi Eliezer to be explaining that? The fact is, the oila's first, and that's that. On the face of it, there should be some kind of an actual nafkamina for it. So, in fact, Shita Mukubetis adds the words in Tosfos, Zilkore de Rabu. This is something you can go to any cheder yingle and ask him to read the pasuk, and he'll tell you that the oila comes first. Why do we need Rava to be telling us that as a chidush? So Tosfos explains, Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Chayim, that it means when you makdish them, you should be makdish the oila first. But as far as offering them, the chatos should come first. It doesn't completely fit with the Mishnah, and Tosfos points out it's also contradicted by Gemara and Erchin, but that's an answer that Tosfos gives. So they don't completely like it, but there is such an answer. And there are different achronim that add, besides the Tosfos' questions on Rabbeinu Chaim, there's also other achronim point out other explanations. So the Cheshek Shloimeh gives an explanation that lemikra means, let's say, for example, a person can't bring the korbanos, and instead, you know, kol oisik patoras oila, ki lirikrim oila, and so forth. So it means if a person is in the situation, they can't bring the actual korbanos, and they need to say the psukim, then they should say the psukim about the oila, then they should say the psukim about the oila first. When it comes to the actual bringing of the korbanos itself, the chatos would come first. But lemikra, if you're in a situation where all you're doing is reading the psukim and not bringing the actual korbanos, so the shalom part of the sfasenu, then you would read the parasha of the oila first. In fact, a point about that in Shulchan Aruch. It mentions in Siman Aleph of Orach Chaim, it talks about that a person should be saying every day the parashias of the various korbanos on the grounds of an neshama parnas fasenu. We don't have that in practice. We don't really say the parashias of the korbanos except for the korban tamid. We say Ezo Mekoyman, which tells the halachas of all of them. But according to the opinions, and you can find it in many sidurim, that they do in fact say the parashias of korbanos. Then The Magen Avraham talks about, in fact, over there, that if a person is saying these parshiyos, normally he should say parshiyos Ola and then chatas, unless he knows for sure that he's chayav chatas, and then he should say the chatas, and then he should say the chatas first. Also related to this point about that lemikra, when it comes to saying the psukim, the Ola should come first, but when it comes to the actual avoido, or if a person is actually chayav chatas, then the chatas would come first. Interesting vote about it. Also, there's an interesting vote from the Mishnah of Meliyahu, Rabbi Eliyahu Dessler. He says, so the idea is, in other words, a chatas, so we know, for example, from Tanya, from Igeres HaTshuva, a chatas is the idea. The person has done wrong, and now he needs to get back into Hashem's favor, and therefore he brings a chatas first. Then after that, he has an ola, which is a gift that he gives to Hashem, that Hashem should completely love him like he did before, and there should be no trace left of his aveira. So one meaning of it can be, when it comes to the actual korbanos, when it comes to the chatas, has to come first. Because again, first the person has to fix up what he did wrong, sur meirah, and only then, asei tov, only then go to the higher level of an oila. But lemikra, as far as what a person should know deep down, he should know that that higher level of oila exists, and that's what he's aspiring to, even before he does, even before he brings the actual chatas. So that's another meaning of lemikra, that the Torah is telling us, even before you bring the chatas, already have in mind the ola, have in mind the elevation that you're going to be elevating yourself and bringing yourself back close to Hashem as you were originally. But in plan, as far as the actual korbanos, you have to bring the chatas first in order to clean up the residue of the aveira. So therefore, so again, Rabbi Eliezer is not talking about the actual bringing of the korbanos. The chatas does come first. He's talking about the as far as the order of the pasuk, or as Rabbi Chaim says in Tosfos, the order of how to be makdish then. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma. Let's bring another proof. A Braisa says, as far as within the korbanos themselves, let's say you have, when it comes to the korbanos musaf, you have the various types of animals that are being brought as korbanos. You have parim, bulls, elim, rams, kvasim, young sheep. So what's the order? So a braisa says parim kodmim la'elim. When you bring in the parim, they come before the elim. The bulls come before the rams. The elim kodmim la'kvasim. The rams come before the baby sheep. Kvasim l'se'irim, and the sheep come before the goats. Now the goats in korbanos musaf are always chatas. So therefore, on the face of it, we see that the oila comes before the chatas, because the parim, elim, and kvasim are all oilas, and the goats are chatas. My lav the chag. Shouldn't we assume that we're talking about for example, the musafim of Sukkos, where you have all four types of animal like that, and the se'irim are being brought as a chatas, and the other three are being brought as an ola. So we see that. The ola comes before the chatas. Tosfos wonders that. So what? Maybe we could say that we're talking about as far as the burning of them. We learned in the first Mishnah. We learned previously in our Mishnah that the burning of the limbs of the ola comes before the burning of the emurim of the chatas. Why do we have to assume? Says Tosfos, that we're talking about the sprinkling of the blood. So an answer to Ponim Meiris gives an answer because to answer Tosfos' question, since the Braisa starts by saying that the Purim come before the Elim, then therefore, and that means as far as the sprinkling of the blood, because after all, they're both oilless, there's no reason to prefer the burning of the Purim before the burning of the Elim. It must be the sprinkling of the blood, therefore Kvasim L'Seirim must also be referring to the sprinkling of the blood. And for that matter, another point is also, if it just meant as far as the Emurim, then it wouldn't have had to mention Kvasim and Seirim. Within the Seirim itself, it would say that the Seirim come before the Oila, because after all, the burning of the, because again, we're saying that the, or we would say that we would have said that the Seirim come before the Seirim Oila as far as the sprinkling of the blood. So the point is that, so we should assume then that we're talking about the Korbanos of, for example, Sukkos, and we see that the Oilas come before the Hatois. And the answer is loy. No, not necessarily. It means l'nadava. It means when people are bringing voluntary korbanos. And when it comes to voluntary korbanos, a person can bring a goat as an ola. Only when it comes to the korbanos sibur are the goats always chataris. But when it comes to a korban yachid, you can have a person can bring a goat as an ola or a shlomim just as well. So in that case, what the braisa is saying, Purim, Kodman, Elim, the reason why bulls come before rams, Shekhen, Yisrabim, and Esachim, because bulls have larger nisachim. You have shloisha esroinim lapar, as opposed to shnei esroinim la'ayil. You have three esroinim versus two of flour when it comes to the bull versus the ram. And for the and the amount of oil and wine is also more for the for Purim than it is for Elim. Elim, and the same way Elim come before Kvasim for the same reason, because they also have more Nisachim. An Ayel has two Esrin, as a Kevin has a Keves has an Esrin. Kvasim was Seirim. You know why? When it comes to Nedava, you know why? A sheep comes before a goat. The reason is because the sheep have an advantage over the goats when it comes to it, when it comes to other korbanos. When not an oila, because an oila the whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach anyhow. But when it comes to other korbanos such as a shlomim, the sheep has the fat tail burnt on the mizbeach and the goat does not. So here, to be sure, we're talking about an oila, which an oila is anyway burnt on the mizbeach. But we do find when it comes to a shlomim and a chatas that a sheep has an advantage over a goat, that it has that extra part of the alya, and therefore that's reason enough, even if all of them are oilas, to prefer the sheep over the goats. But not necessarily as the Brais are talking about where the goats are a chatas. Maybe indeed then the goats come first because they're a chatas, and we're saying a chatas always comes before the oila. Incidentally, the Gemara tells us in Psachim, And in Christus, a story involving a Kohen Gadol named Yisachar Ish Kfar Barkai, where this Yisachar, when he did the Avodah, he would wrap his hands in silk gloves, which is a bizoyan to the Avodah. That means he doesn't want to get his hands dirty. It's also because it would be a chatzitza. So eventually he got his punishment that one time the king and queen, a Jewish king and queen, were having an argument, what's better, sheep or goats? And they said that the Kohen Gadol knows because he's always eating korbanos, and he like makes a dismissive wave with his hand, like what kind of question even is that? Of course sheep are better because they're brought for the korban tamid, and he ended up having his hands chopped off as a punishment, and that way he got his punishment in Olam Hazeh. And the Gemara goes on to say that actually it is true that usually in the Torah sheep are listed before goats, but we find one place where goats are listed first as far as a chatas, and that tells us that actually as far as that they're considered equal. But here, our Gemara is saying that as far as if you have a choice which one to offer first, when they're both oilas or both shlomim or whatever, it is true that the sheep come first because they have the alya and the goat does not. Okay. Still trying to prove this question of whether the chatas always comes before the oila. The Gemara says, Toshma, we learn in a braisa. If you have the two bulls that have to be brought as a chatas apnimis, where the blood is sprinkled in the heichel and the animal itself is brought outside Yerushalayim, you have the par koyin mashiach and the par helam davashot tzibur, both of which we learned about in great detail in Masechta Horeis, and we talked about many times in our Masechta. So the par koyin mashiach comes first before the par helam davashot tzibur. The reason is we learned in Horeis because the par koyin mashiach. We learn it actually from a pasuk, because the pasuk calls the parakon mashiach par rishon, meaning that it should be first. The logical reason behind it is because if the kohen gadol himself needs a kapara, then he has to do that. He has to be mechaper for himself before he's able to do the avodah for the tzibur. Next, continues the braisa. Par helam davashot tzibur kodem lapar avodis kechavim. If you have, there's a par helam davashot tzibur for a case where Beistin mistakenly passed in about one of the regular cases where a person is chayav kardes, as we learned about in Horeis. So they passed in that a certain malacha is mutter on Shabbos, or a certain kind of chaylev is mutter, etc. And then you have par avodis kechavim. You have the one that they bring if there was a mistake, if the mistake involved avodis zara. And there they bring a par, and there they bring a par and a sur as a korban. They bring a par as an ola and a sur as a chatas. So there, the par halam davashot tzibur comes before the par avodah zarah, before the par avodah kechavim. Par avodah kechavim kodem l'seiri avodah kechavim. And if the Beis Din had made a mistake about avodah zarah and passed them that a certain type is mutter, and most of the Jewish people follow them, etc., all the criteria we learned about in Masechta Horeis, then you have a par and you have a sur, and the par comes before the sur. Now, the afagav, the par avodis kechavim olo, sir avodis kechavim chatas. Now consider the par in that case is an ola and the sir is a chatas, and nevertheless we're saying the par comes first. So you see that an ola and a chatas that come together do come together. So we see in that case that the ola does come first, where we've been saying all this time that the chatas comes first. So why is that? So the Gemara asks back the Eima Meresha new. So instead, you're asking from the Sefer about the power and the Sur. Why not prove the contrary from the Reisha. Par helam davar shel tzibur koyin the par averus kachavim. We were saying that if you have a par helam davar shel tzibur for a regular averus, such as Shabbos or Chelev or what have you, and you have the par averus kachavim, which is an oila, then we say that the chatas comes before the oila. So we see that the chatas comes before the oila. So you're finding that you have a case where we're saying that the chatas comes before the oila. You have also a case where the oila comes before the chatas. So why are you asking from this braisa as though? What do you mean the chatas comes before the oila? Where we find an example to the contrary, the fact is we also find in the same braisa that a case where the chatas does come before the ola. So in other words, the question is, just because you have one exception, how does that prove that how are you asking that then you don't seem to have a rule at all? Maybe the basic rule is that the chatas comes before the ola. So what's you Makshin's problem that you think that it's not like that? So the answer is Amri B'mar Rava. They said in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, B'shmeder Rava Bar Mori, in the name of Rava Bar Mori, that there's a special reason why. Oh, sorry, I skipped a few lines. So the Eimer Meresha. So Par Helam Davar Kshal Tzibur Kodesh Par Averes Kachavim. So the Gemara answer is B'chad Mina Miha Loyam B'likam Mina. The fact is, we haven't been talking about all this time where the Chatas and the Ola are the same min, where they're both bulls. Mia lo kar minin. We haven't been saying that the Ola comes first. Sure, the Chatas Todva. Sure, when it's all one min, of course the Chatas comes first. We have no problem with that. Ki kar minin, but we're trying to prove that the Ola should come first. The Trei Mini should be when there's two different types of animals. And here we have the Ola is a par and the Chatas is a sir. Ashkechon Ola de Kodma la Chatas. And don't we find over here an Ola coming before Chatas, where we said in the Reisha, we said on Omar Al, we brought a braisa that said that a chatasa oif comes even before an olas behema. So the question is, now that we see that when it comes to two different species, even within animals, a power versus a sir, and you see that the power comes first, why shouldn't we say the same thing? If you have a chatasa oif and an olas behema, why shouldn't the ola comes first, just like we're saying that it does over here when there are power and sir respectively? So the answer is Amri Marava. They answered in the West. So that's the question. So B'Trei Mini, when it comes to two species, Ashkechon Ola, the Kodma L'Chatas, we do find that Ola coming before Chatas, the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur coming before the Sir Avodah Zarah. Par Avodah Kachavim come before the Sir Avodah Kachavim, where the Par is an Ola and the Sir is a Chatas. So then, in that case, so we see that there is such a case across two minim. So by the same logic, we should say that when the chatas is a bird and the ola is an animal, the ola should also come first because the animal is bigger than the bird, just like the par is bigger than the sir. Amni b'mar rova b'shmei de rova b'amori. So the answer in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, in the name of rova b'amori, this is taka an exception. Chatas of Avodah Zarah is chaser aleph. When the Torah mentions about the chatas of Avodah Zarah, there's a missing aleph in the word. L'chatosksiv. When the pasuk says, you look in a chumash, or you look in a sefer Torah in Parashas Shlach, when it discusses this din, it says that they bring a series in echad l'chatos, and the word chatos there is missing an aleph. So it means it's missing a rule that applies to all other chatos in the Torah. So yes, it's true that usually the chatas would come before the oila, but here it's not so, and in fact the oila comes first. But this is the only exception. Ravina Omar, Ravina says there's a different reason. Kamishbat tzibu, because the pasuk says by them that you should bring them in chosiv and iskid kamishbat. You have to bring the korban together with the oila, has to come together with a mincha and nesachim kamishbat according to the rule, and the word kamishbat means exactly according to the way it says in the Torah, with no exceptions. So therefore, since the Torah here lists the Ola first, then therefore the Ola comes first. And that's, even though the usual rule indeed would be a Chatas first, but here, because of the missing Aleph, or because of the word Kamishpat, then therefore that means that this is an exception to the rule, and the Ola comes first. There's a Vortan, and I believe from the Rogatchover, that says, why Taka, why would this be an exception? And the reason is, because if they've worshipped Avodah Zarah, to a certain extent now, they have the dinim of a Goyim. At the end of our Masechta, when we talk about what Korbanos Goyim can bring, we're going to talk about they can bring an Ola. Some say they can bring a Shlomo as well. We'll discuss that over there. But everybody agrees that they can't bring Chatois. So therefore, we have to first bring the Ola, and therefore start the process of Kapara, start getting rid of the Saveira of Avodah Zarah, to bring them back to the status of full-fledged Jews, where now they can bring a Chatas. Therefore, in this one case, the Ola comes first. But that's an exception to the rule. So therefore, they can't prove from that it should be that way when it comes to a bird chatas and an animal oila, and in fact then the chatas does come first, as we said before. Okay, So the Gemara says, Hashta de osis lahochi. You know what? Now that you got to that, now that you got to that answer of Kamishpat, then you can answer Afilotema. You can even answer the Braisa that we brought at the bottom of the previous Omer and continued on the top of our Omer now that was saying Purim come before Elim and Elim come before Kvasim, etc. And we were saying that maybe it was talking about all Nedava, you could answer Afilotema, Purim Dechag. You could even answer that it means that Purim, Elim, Kvasim, and Seirim of Sukkot, Nami also. And you would ask, well, in that case, then why are the Olas coming first if the Pasuk says, why are the Olas coming first if the goat is a Chatas? The reason is, Kimishpatam Ksiv, because again, the Ksiv Bahu, because the Pasuk says Kimishpatam, which means, in other words, that has to be exactly according to the order. And therefore, in this case, also the Olas come first. So there is another exception where the Olas come before the Chatas because the Pasuk puts it in that order and says Kamishpatam. Interesting point that the Or Sameach makes on this, that maybe in that case, then first of all, then that would mean, the Rambam explains that only on the 7 days of Sukkot do we do that. Shmini Atzeres not, because Shmini Atzeres is not Kimishpatim anymore. There the Pasuk doesn't say that anymore. And in fact, we say that the Korbanos of Shmini Atzeres are considered Korban Mifnei Atzmei. They're a separate Korban. They don't follow the order of the Korbanos of Sukkot, but they also don't follow the order as far as the sequence. In other words, we have 13, 12, 11 as far as the number of bulls and 14 sheep and so forth. You don't have that on Shmini Atzeres, but it would also mean that you don't go according to the order that was saying over here, that they go in the order of the animals as they mentioned in the Pasuk. The Meshech Chochma brings up an interesting point in that regard. Maybe, in fact, what if they don't have Nisachim to go with the Korbanos? Maybe, in fact, the Chatas should come first. Because anyway, then he says, you're not doing Kamishpatam. The whole point is, we're learning from the word Kamishpatam, that the Kamishpat, that it says by most of the days, that you have to bring it according to the order it says in the Torah. But by the first day of Sukkot, in fact, it doesn't say Kamishpat, and it doesn't mention Nisachim either. So he says, maybe then the Torah is hinting at the point. If you don't have Nisachim, then we follow the usual rule that the Chatas comes first. Only when you have the Nisachim, when you have everything that says in the Pesukim, then the Olas come first, and then you go Purim, then Elim, then Kvasim, then Seirim, as according to the order of the Pasuk. The Gemara says, "Yiboyelahu." Now the Chachamim had a question. Chatas ha'ofa olas behema u'maiser ezimahem koidim. Suppose you have three korbanos that have to be brought now: a chatas ha'of, an olas behema, and maiser behema. So ezimahem koidim, which one comes first? We seem to have a deadlock over here. Tiktim chatas ha'of. Should we put the chatas ha'of first, as we said it comes before an olas behema? No. Ika maiser dekodim la. We said that maiser behema comes before a bird because we said in the Mishnah because maiser is shechted, as opposed to the bird, has malika done to it. Look, the miser, should we put the miser first? Can't. Ika oilas behema. You have the oilas behema, the kod malay, which comes first, as we learned in the Mishnah, that the oil comes before most korbanos because it's kodsh kodshim, and it's completely burnt on the zech. Tiktum oilas behema, should we put the oilas behema first? Can't. Ika chatas oif, the kod malay. You have the chatas oif, where we've just been saying that the chatas oif comes before the oilas behema. So you have a three-way deadlock over here. It seems. Tosfos points out there are other examples in Shas where we can also find there could be a triple deadlock like that. Tosfos asks that we should be able to make a Kav HaChomer and say the Chatas HaOif should come first. And Tosfos says that the Kav HaChomer wouldn't work because the fact that Chatas HaOif comes before an Ola is a Chiddush. It's not something that we can learn from by a Kav HaChomer. So, what's the answer? So the Gemara says, Hocha Taudimu, here in Babel, they explain, Min Zavach Adif, ultimately the fact that something of the type of Korban comes first, and therefore Maiser will go first among the three of them. So then will be the first Maiser Behema, then the Chatas HaOif, and then the Ola. The Ma'al Rav Amri, on the other hand, in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, they said that the Chatas HaOif has to come first, because after all, both the Ola and the Maiser are both shechted, but nevertheless, what we're saying is, Ayla Ba Olas Behema B'Chatas HaOif. What happens is the Chatas HaOif become the importance of the Oilas Behema goes into the Chatas HaOif because the Chatas HaOif precedes the Oila, Vagbata Mi Maiser, and therefore in this case, it lifts up the Chatas of the bird higher even than Maiser. And therefore, that cancels out the point of min zevach and makes it that therefore the bird chatas will come first, because in other words, since the bird chatas has to come before the animal oila, that makes it even more important than the meiser, and therefore in Ma'arava, in the Eretz Yisrael, they explain that the order will be chatas ha'oif, then oila sa'oif, then meiser, and then as opposed to, again, in Bavel, they'd explain that the meiser would come first, then the chatas ha'oif, and then the oila. The Rambam paskens like that second one, like Ma'arava, so therefore the order would actually be that the chatas ha'oif would come first. Okay. Mishnah says, we just said before, so now we were talking before about chatas versus oila, let's talk about other types of korbanos. Anytime you have a chatas and an osham, so then the chatas always comes first. You have a number of cases where the Torah says a person has to bring a chatas and an osham, chutzme, asham mitzorah, with the exception of the asham mitzorah, that they're the osham comes first, if they should bar of hechsher, because the osham, most of the time, an osher comes from the chafer for an avera, asham zelus, asham me'ilus, etc. But the asham mitzorah is not really coming for an avera, it's coming to be machshir him, that now, once he brings his osham, then he'll be able to enter the Beis HaMikdash and eat kodshim, and therefore the osham there will come first. Ordinarily, the chatas will come first, as we learned in the previous Mishnah, because the chatas has the blood applied four times to the Mizbeach, as opposed to the osham, is only Shtei Matonas Shtei Na'ava. But here, because the osham is machshir, then it's considered to be more important. Tosfos points out, the chatas is doing both, it's being machshir and it's being mechaper. But the answer is, because the osham we're going to have, the blood of it is applied to the mitzvah's ear, thumb, and toe, therefore that's considered more of a machshir. And then he was also where Tosfos said that when we say chatoris come before osham, we mean other chatoris, we mean where the chatas and the osham are not related, and this brings us to what we were saying before, that the Chazon Ish understands the Keren Ora, and the Chazon Ish understand Tosfos to be saying that when we talked before about a chatas coming before an ola, it's not only when the chatas and ola are connected together, even when they're disconnected, even when one has nothing to do with the other. Okay, so the osham, so in this case of the mitzvah, the osham comes first because it's machshir, and again, as Tosfos says, because the fact that you put it on his ear, thumb, and toe is considered to be more of a machshir. Continues the Mishnah. Kol ha-ashamos shabatorah boin b'nei shtayim. Most cases where a person has to bring a korban osham, boin b'nei shtayim, then it's brought from an animal that's in its second year, because the Torah says it has to be an ayo, and the definition of an ayo is a sheep that's over 13 months old. The rule is, by the way, until the sheep is a year old, it's called a keves. Then from 12 to 13 months, it's called a palgus or pilgus, however you pronounce it, and then it can't be brought as either a sheep or an ayo. It can't be brought as either a sheep or a ram. A person is not yotze if he has to bring a sheep or a ram. He's not yotze with that. We'll learn about it in Menachos in a few months, Be'ez Hashem. And then you have some 13 months old, it's called an ayo, and then when the Torah tells us to bring an ayo, it has to be that. So it has to be in its second year, or boin b'kesef shkolim, it has to be, the payment for it, the value of it, has to be at least 2 silver shkolim. It says it explicitly by the Asham Me'ilos, it says kesef shkolim, and we learn the other ones from it by Xer, and we learn the other ones from it by Xer Shavah. On the other hand, the Asham Nozir and the Asham Mitzurah are an exception to that, as the Mishnah is going to say, because by them, by the Asham Nozir and by the Asham Nozir, the Torah specifically says that it's an animal within a year old. By the Asham Nozir, it says that, and by the Asham Mitzurah, it also says something similar. So by them, it's an exception. They don't come from an animal in second year, and it doesn't have to be worth 2 sloim. So chutz me'asham nozir v'asham mitzorah, with the exception of asham nozir and asham mitzorah, she'en boin b'nei shnosam, those come from an animal that's within its first year, ve'en boin because of shkolim, and then it has to be worth dafka 2 shkolim. We'll learn Be'ez Hashem later in Seder Kodshim, I think it's in Masechta Tzemura, I don't remember, what happens if you can't find an animal, what if prices have fallen, and there's no ram available that's worth 2 sloyim, then we're going to learn what you do in that case. But the Torah insists that it has to be worth at least 2 sloyim. With the exception of the Asham Noz or Asham Mitzvah. Continues the Mishnah. Kishem Shekoidman Vahakrovasan. Just as the Korbanos, so far we've been talking about Todir and Mekudosh, that Todir comes before Eine Todir, and Mekudosh comes before Eine Mekudosh. Kishem Shekoidman Vahakrovasan. Just as whichever Korban comes before the other one, as far as offering it, Koidman Vahakrovasan, the same way, the order of precedence is as far as the eating of them. So let's say, for example, so a chatas comes before an usher. If you have a chatas and an usher, both of them need to be eaten, then the chatas comes first because it has greater kedusha, because it's mechaper for more serious avedas, and the blood is applied four times to the mizeach, and so on and so forth. What about shlomim shel emesh or shlomim shel yoyim? So what about, on the other hand, where you have shlomim that were offered yesterday and shlomim of today? Shel emesh kodmin the shel yoyim, then the ones from yesterday come before the ones of today, because the deadline is approaching. A shlomim you can only eat for 2 days. So if you have a shlomim that was shechted on Tuesday and another one that's shechted on Wednesday, and now is Wednesday, then you have to finish. Actually, so no, Rashi says that's not what we're talking about. What we mean is that they were brought to the Azara, and they weren't yet, they didn't end up bringing them as a korban yesterday. So they brought one shlomim on Tuesday, but they didn't actually shecht it yet. Now is Wednesday, and that animal was still standing over there. And now you have another one that was brought today on Wednesday. The one from yesterday comes first because it's already been there a whole day. And it's a zilzal, it would be a disgrace to delay it first. Since it came first, then you should be makriv it first. So therefore, shal emesh kodmin, then l'shal yom, and the ones from yesterday come before the ones from today. What about shlomim shal emesh v'chatas v'oshem shal hayom? What about a shlomim that was brought yesterday and a chatas or an oshem that are brought today? Shlomim shal emesh kodmin, still the shlomim from yesterday, even though we said before that a chatas or an oshem come before shlomim, nevertheless, yesterday's shlomim, because they were brought earlier, therefore we offer them earlier. So according to Rashi, we're talking about that we're not talking about either of them have yet been shechted. We're talking about none of them have yet been shechted, and we're talking about which one we should shecht first. So ordinarily, the chatas would come first, but here where the shlomim had been brought yesterday, and has not yet been shechted, then we should do it today. Tosfos quotes from Rashi a different lashon. Tosfos quotes a completely different lashon from Rashi that we're talking about where they were shechted. And in fact, it would mean that they were shechted, and it's yesterday's shlomim, and by now the meat is starting to spoil, because they didn't have refrigeration back then, you know, so therefore, you know, the Torah tells us you can eat a shlomim for 2 days, but nevertheless, the meat is starting to spoil, so therefore you should be makriv them, because it would be a zilzal, it would be a disgrace to leave them to spoil. So in other words, so that Giusa and Nashi is, we're not talking about where the animal is still alive, we're talking about it was in fact shechted yesterday, and the question is what we should do as far as the meat. So then we're saying that comes ahead. So the reason is, so Rashi is saying, as Tosfos quotes, because they were spoiled. On the other hand, Tosfos says, you don't need that reason. The reason is because, because the shlomim, the deadline is at Shkia. The chatas, you have the chatas that's offered today. You have it all the way until chatzos to eat it. So therefore, you have a longer deadline. So therefore, you should take longer. So we're saying that on the other hand, the gusa that we have in front of us in Rashi is that it's not a matter of yesterday's shlomim. We're already shechted. We're talking about it was brought yesterday, and they hadn't actually been makriv it yet. So there is discussion about this among Achronim, about the ins and outs of what the correct Giusa is in Rashi, and how to talk about that. One point is, that's brought up in this connection, it's true, of course, as Tosfos is saying, that the deadline for the Shlomim is earlier. On the other hand, the fact remains, the Shlomim, you have more people are able to eat it. Any person can eat it in any way in Yerushalayim, as opposed to the chatas can be eaten only by the male kohenim and only in the Azara. So therefore, we might have reason to say that still the shlomim should come for this. Nevertheless, we would say the shlomim should come first, not so much because the deadline is earlier, as Tosfos is saying, but because even though it's true you have more people to eat them, the meat is already starting to spoil. The Or Sameach points this out. Meshachachma. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. So that's Dibur Reb Meir. So that's Reb Meir's opinion that yesterday's shlomim should come first. So the chum and chatas kodemus from teshi kodshi kodshim. The chum said the chatas comes first because it's kodshi kodshim. So whichever cases we're talking about, whether we understand that we're talking about that the korbanos have not yet been shechted, and the question is which one to shecht first, whether we're understanding, as Tosfos brings from Rashi, that we're talking about both of them were shechted. The chum was saying it's true the deadline of the shlomim is earlier, and it's true all that it's a bizoyan. Nevertheless, the chatas still has to come first because it is kodshi kodshim, and it still outranks the shlomim. The Mishnah finishes off another din as far as eating korbanos. The cholan, as far as all korbanos that they can eat, hakoyanim rashoyim l'shanes b'achilosan. The koyanim can vary the way that they eat the meat. They can cook it however they want. As we say in Ezer Mekoyman, v'nachol v'chol v'chol machol. They can eat it in any way that they want. Why do we say dafka the koyanim? So the Kesef Mishnah explains, because the Koyanim, since they're eating in order to finish off the kapara of the owner, the Ochlo Oisim Asher Kupa Behem, maybe we'd think they should only be eating Lashem Shemayim, and therefore they shouldn't adapt to prepare it any other way. They should prepare it only in a way that they're not going to have so much enjoyment from it, that they're eating only Lashem Shemayim. And the point is that no, the Koyanim are still able to change how they cook it however they want. So they can do that. So they can eat them roasted or cooked or shlukim. There's different explanations throughout Shas what shlukim means. Does it mean Rashi in some places explains that Tosfos brings over here from Rashi that from Rashi elsewhere, that shlika is overcooked. Bishul is regular cooking. Shlika would be overcooking, would be cooking it even more. On the other hand, the Rashba brings the other way around. Some say that shlika is less cooked. Shlika would be kamaychol ben rasoi, only a third or half cooked, and mevusholim would be completely cooked. The Rid brings another explanation. Shlukim would be cooked by themselves, but Mevusholim would be together with vegetables or spices or what have you. In any case, the Koyanim are allowed to cook the meat of the Korbanos however they want, in any of these ways. Losas l'sechem, tavlei chulin, the tavlei truma. And they're also allowed to put in them spices of chulin or even spices of truma. Divrei Reb Shimon, that's what Reb Shimon says. Rameo says they cannot put in spices of truma, shalayavias have truma the day psul, so that they don't cause truma to become possible, because truma can be eaten only by koyanim, so can the kodshe kodshim, fine, but the kodshe kodshim are going to have a deadline, and then they're going to become noiser, and then those spices are going to have to be burnt together with the korban, whereas had they not been used for that, then they wouldn't have that deadline. And therefore, so the mayor doesn't want you to ruin truma unnecessarily, whereas Reb Shimon is not concerned about that. Similar to we had earlier in our Masechta when we talked about that Reb Shimon didn't have such a problem with Rian Kodshim, the day psul, of having Kodshim be given a deadline which is going to make them become possible. And we talked about that as far as Korbanos, and we talked about that as far as truma and so forth. Reb Shimon had less of a problem with that, and therefore the same thing over here. He doesn't have a problem using spices of truma in korbanos, whereas the mayor does. So the first part of our Mishnah had mentioned chatas before asham, and the previous Mishnayos had been talking about todir and mekudesh. So we'll start learning in the Gemara tomorrow. Baruch Hashem, we'll start talking about when you have todir versus mekudesh, which one outranks the other. So far we said within todir and b'sheina todir koydim, and mekudesh, whichever one is more mekudesh, then mekudesh comes first. What if you have todir versus mekudesh? So we'll talk about that in the Gemara Baruch Hashem.